times of economic turmoil, you shall have abundance. Hi, it's Elliot here. Do you remember the story of Jacob who went to live with his uncle Laban, and then Laban realized that Jacob was blessed and all his assets were increasing because of Jacob, so he tried to enslave Jacob. You remember when he changed his wages 10 times, and then he gave Jacob the wrong daughter to consummate his marriage with, and he gave Jacob Leah instead of Rachel, just so he could keep him there another 7 years. On top of the 7 years he had already served Laban to have Rachel. Well, that story reminds me of the enemy who is trying desperately to restrict God's people from benefiting from the blessing on them, on you. And he does this by gaining control of the three M's: the mill, the market, and the money. The mill, that's where you work. The market, that's where you shop. The money, or the bank, where you do business. With control over where people work for money, where they spend their money, and where they keep their money, the enemy keeps people enslaved, because those are the three places where money is circulated. It's all part of the devil's counterfeit Babylonian system of commerce, which the enemy set up to enslave the masses. And he did this so he could form an elite class who would listen to him, so he could rule over the masses and enslave them. Look at what Revelation chapter 18 verses 2 and 4 says about Babylon's economic system. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, this is the angel of God, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Now, I know Babylon is much more elaborate than just a financial economy, but for the purpose of this presentation, I'm speaking of Babylon in the economic side of things. What you need to do is come out of dependence on the world system and acknowledge God as your source. And you do this by following his leading, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. Come out of her. Now, the enemy has tried to keep people enslaved, especially Christians, because if he can do that, he can stop the gospel spreading like it should, which is detrimental to his cause. People can't spread the gospel effectively without money, especially if he controls it. Now, I'm not disannulling the work of the Holy Spirit, because it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit that the gospel is spread. But Romans chapter 10 verses 14 to 15 says, How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You'll hear me address this in Faith Boosters in much greater detail. It's undeniable that resources are required to spread the gospel of our Lord and Savior. Preachers and missionaries need to be sent. Resources are required to send people who the Holy Spirit can work through. And this is precisely why the enemy has tried to keep resources out of your hands, having the wicked store it up to exploit you. He has put wicked people in charge of the mill, the market, and the money. A banker once said, give me control of the nation's monetary system, and I care not who writes their laws. Another banker said, bankers own the earth. Take the earth away from them, but give them the power to create money, then they'll create enough money to buy back the earth. Now, although those words were spoken by men, that was really the devil speaking. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You may see men exploiting you, but recognize that there is an unseen enemy behind it all, trying to keep you subservient. But the good news is this: God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. This is the portion of a wicked man with God, and the heritage of oppressors, which they shall receive of the Almighty. Though he heap up silver as the dust, and prepare raiment as the clay, he may prepare it, but the just shall put it on, and the innocent shall divide the silver. Amen. The other thing the enemy has done is get in the church telling everybody it's ungodly to be wealthy or have any money above what you need, knowing that if the church is poor, they will struggle to further the work of God. Now, God said he'd give us the power to get wealth so he could establish his covenant, as he swore to our forefathers. And Jesus gave us good news. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now, I felt impressed to teach on the area of spiritual finance and kingdom economics, for obvious reasons really. The talk on everyone's lips is recession. If you watch the news, that's pretty much all you'll hear about, doom and gloom. That's if you watch the news all the time. And I'll be honest, I don't. And the reason is because the only news I need to be concerned about is the good news of the gospel. Plus, God said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. God has spoken things concerning you and your needs being supplied, even above and beyond that. And the reason is so you can be a blessing to others. You don't need to be concerned with what the world is saying. You need to ask what God says. And he says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, in Revelation 19:13, Christ is called the Word of God. So you could read it like this: casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Word of God. So anything talking against the Word of God, i.e. the news, friends, colleagues, or even people in church, it's not for you to pay attention to. The world tells you to panic, but Christ said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take, therefore, no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. All you need to be concerned with is God honoring his word to you. Once God has spoken something, it will accomplish the thing to which it is sent. And if he has promised to supply all your needs and make all grace abound towards you, that you may always have all sufficiency in all things and have abundance for every good work, then that's what will be. It might not look like that to you now, but that's what his will is. And if you follow his leading, he will bring you into it. The just shall live by faith, not by what they see. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Yes, you live in the world, but you are not of this world. You do not have to be controlled or dominated by it. You are above it. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, I don't deny that there is a recession going on, but I do deny its power over me. You see, airplane pilots can't deny that gravity exists, but they deny its power over them to keep them grounded, because they cooperate with a superior law which overrides gravity, called the law of lift. Well, you as a believer can cooperate with God's promises which override natural circumstances. Your provision is not of this world. You are an ambassador to those in this earth. We in this kingdom represent the kingdom, and your kingdom meets all your needs. You do not have to live like the people in the environment you have been sent to. You can live at the standard of the place you are from, and that is heaven. So in the middle of all this economic turmoil about you, you can have peace, joy, and prosperity. You can actually prosper when things are bad. But to do that, you need to take your eyes off your circumstances. You need to be focused on what God promised he will do when you honor him. And he will bring you into prosperity when you favor his righteous cause. God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, that's not to say you're exempt from hard times being inflicted upon you. If I said that, then I'd be giving you a false illusion of what really is. You know, as perfect and just as God is, there are many factors which can come up and contradict God's will in your life, whether it be human error, either yours or someone else, deliberate or accidental. it could be a satanic attack like Job experienced, or the challenges of the times. But the good news is that despite those things coming upon you, you can be delivered out of them all. You have assurance that God will be with you in the midst of trouble. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Weapons can be formed against you, but they are not permitted to prosper. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. I just love how the Amplified Bible puts this. It says, I have told you these things, so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration, but be of good cheer. Take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Man, I love that. Now, a common mistake believers make is when they ignore their responsibility and say, whatever God wills is what will happen. That is not what the Bible teaches. Yes, as a believer, you are entitled to many privileges, but the Bible teaches you have the responsibility to do what God says. Only then can you expect to receive what he promises. You have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The determining factor to you overcoming any trouble is a matter of your response and not the magnitude of the problem. The determining factor to you overcoming any trouble is a matter of your response and not the magnitude of the problem. Look how Paul responded to hard times. And he, that's God, said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. That's what God said to Paul. Now Paul says, most gladly therefore will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. You need to have a vision beyond what your current situation is. Behave as if the word is what you see in your life. Stop talking in a self-pitiful manner. Talk in faith. Talk God's word and rejoice in the middle of hard times, because God has already resolved every situation you don't see out of. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. So make sure your words always line up with what God's word said. Let the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart be acceptable in his sight at all times. It's time you show the world the benefits of operating by the kingdom of God's principles. Let them see how you do things which don't make sense in obedience to God and still prosper. One of those things is to tithe, which means to give 10% of your income to God for his work as he has asked. Now, in times like these, you may think, I can't afford to give 10% of what I earn to God. Well, whether or not you have that issue, I want to share with you my mother's experience, and I pray this inspires you and gives you encouragement. When I was about 11 years old, my parents had been divorced about 2 or 3 years, and I lived with my mother and my sister. Now, times were hard. My mother didn't have much money. And one time, things got so tight, it got to the point where Mum thought, I can't afford to tithe. And for a while, she considered not tithing. So while she was in church, she said, God, you know my situation. And you said in your word, if I bring the tithe to the storehouse, you will pour out a blessing that I won't have room enough to receive. So I'm trusting you that you will do what you said. And then she put the tithe in the basket, not knowing how God would supply her needs. She didn't have a job or anything, but she knew God was her source and that he would provide. Now, the same day, before we left church, a woman, not a Christian, came in the church looking for an electrolysist to look after her business while she went on holiday. My mother just so happened to be trained in electrolysis. This was a divine appointment arranged by God that I guarantee wouldn't have happened if my mom didn't put her trust in him. But that's not it. When we got home that day, there was an envelope on the floor with money in it. There's more. A family friend came with bags of groceries, and all this happened in the same day. Furthermore, when the lady came back from vacation, she asked my mother if she would like a permanent position. My mother put her trust in God, not knowing how he would meet her need, because she didn't have any visible source of income. But God met her need according to his riches. He wasn't limited to a job. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He can pull resources from anywhere to meet your need. You may think you can't afford to put your trust in God, but you can't afford to put your trust into anything but God. What amazed me was the speed at which God met her need all in one day, within hours of her obedience. You know, it reminds me of the woman that fed Elijah first before herself and her son. That was an act of faith, and God met her need. Read 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 9 to 16. God did the same for my mom. He is no respecter of persons. God wants you to make the move first. He wants you to make the move of trust in him first. First, draw nigh to him, and he will draw nigh to you. What amazes me the most is why on earth a person would look for an electrolysis in a church on a Saturday. That just goes to show God will meet any need. Don't worry about it. Enter into God's rest. By the way, my mother later asked the woman why she did what she did. Because she wasn't a godly woman. She just walked into church. And she said to my mother, she said that she felt impressed to go there. God will lead even a sinner to meet your needs if he chooses. Now, don't worry about the how. Just know my mom held God to his word and he was faithful to watch over his word to perform it because she demonstrated faith. It's impossible to please him without it. And she demonstrated faith with works. So her faith was not dead. People want blessing without obedience. Sorry it doesn't work that way. Sorry. If my mother didn't tithe, I don't know what would have happened. If you tie your finances with your faith in God's promises based on God's system, I mean, there are so many guidelines telling you what to do and telling you what not to do so that you can prosper. If you just trust God and follow him, you will prosper while the rest of the world is going under. That's the bottom line. You can base your entire life on God's direction and see yourself prosper. And you know he'll do it because he said in 3 John chapter 2, I wish above all things that you prosper. That's God's wish for you above all things. After you have done the will of God, just be patient, you'll receive the promise. God will hasten to perform his word. You don't have to be bound to this world system. Base your life on what the word of God has to say. God wants to take good care of you now in this life, not just when you get to heaven. The word has a way to prosper by trusting God, which is not consistent with the way the world handles finances. Those in the world would have said to my mother, that's okay, God understands. Even some people in church, God knows you're struggling. You don't have to worry about tithing. Save the money. It's okay. I'm sure glad she obeyed God. I can tell you that. She trusted God contrary to what the world would recommend. She set her affection on what the word said, not on what the circumstances said. And she came out on top. And God will do the same for you to any of his promises, which you prove to be willingly obedient to. God wants to prove to you that he will take care of you. And if you will allow me the privilege, this is what I would like to train you to do through Faith Boosters. When you tap into God's system of prosperity, I can promise you it will work in good times and hard times. The world system is fickle, it's unreliable, it goes up, it goes down. The kingdom of God is consistently prosperous. The reason most believers are susceptible to the economy of the world is because they haven't subjected themselves to God's word. The word of God is much more than a gateway to heaven. It's a practical guide to how to live your life so you can prosper in every area. This is a brilliant time to obey God and let others see the benefit of obeying God, and let him be glorified by the good which happens for you. It's dark out there for people who don't have their faith in God, especially in the area of finances. You and I can show them the way. We can show them how God does things, and they will want to join us as children of the Father of Light. When it's dark, that's the best time to let your light shine. The darker it is around you, the brighter your light will be to those in darkness. You should be standing out like a giant in a crowd among the people where you work, your family, your neighbors, your friends, your school, college, university, wherever. When people are complaining how bad it is, you should be telling them, my God supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Want to join me? You can do this. This can be a reality for you. But you need to make adjustments to who and what you trust in. And this will be proven by your beliefs and your actions being conformed to what God says. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou, that's you, shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. To do that, you need to have faith in God's way of prospering you. To get that, you need to go to God's word. Romans chapter 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee, and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Yes, you can get rich on the world system of finance, but sorrow comes with it, as many are experiencing today. But when the Lord blesses you, it makes rich, and it adds no sorrow with it. Which do you prefer? You know, there's a scripture that says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. I find it amusing that God gives you a choice of what to do, and then, just in case you were inclined to make the wrong choice, he says, choose life. God wants you to choose the good, which is his way. The blessing of the Lord will make you rich and add no sorrow with it. In God, you can prosper without trying to. You just have to do what he assigned you to do, and you prosper. He blesses everything you set your hand to. When you try and bless yourself, that's when you mess yourself up. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Just do what God says is right. You don't have to be fearful of what's going to happen. Prospering God's way is the best way. God is consistent regardless of what the world's economy is doing. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. You just have to cooperate with him, and you do that by being obedient to his word. And part of your obedience is to honor God's purpose for your prosperity. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Now, in case you haven't got it yet, the reason God wants to bless you is so that you will be a blessing. He said, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. If God wants you to be a blessing continuously, he has to bless you in order for you to keep blessing others. It is more blessed to give than to receive. God's blessing is not just so you can have nice things, although those things have their place. It's all over his word. Psalms 112 says in verse 3, wealth and riches shall be in the house of the righteous. Another purpose for prosperity, and I believe this should be the number one priority, is outlined in Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to read from verses 12 to 13 and verses 17 to 18. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Let them shout for joy, and be glad, that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. When God prospers you, remember your responsibility to take care of those in this world who need help and further the work of the gospel. Don't just sit on what God blesses you with. God will keep increasing you more and more as you honor him and his purposes. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. As you prove yourself to be faithful with little, he will make you ruler over much, because he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Don't despise a small beginning, for your latter end shall greatly increase. Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 11 says this, the Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as ye are, and bless you as he hath promised you. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in us. God wants to bless you, to make you a blessing. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. The Bible defines a prosperous person as someone who is able to confer benefit onto others and establish the kingdom of God on this earth. If you want to have your part in all this, you can. Absolutely. And you start with your faith and willing obedience to God's word. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Be brave, obey God, and your provision is certain. The only thing in our world upon which we can rely is the word of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When you learn the power of God's word, you won't follow the suggestions of Satan in order to obtain food, secure finances, or even to save your life. Your only questions will be, what is God's command and what is his promise? Knowing these, you will obey the one and trust the other. And you are sure to experience God's promise being made manifest in your life. Let me tell you something. In the last great conflict of the controversy with Satan, those who are loyal to God will see every earthly support cut off. We're told that in Revelation. Now, I'm not talking doom and gloom here. I'm just giving it to you upfront and honest. There will come a time when those of us who refuse to break God's law in obedience to earthly powers will be forbidden to buy or sell. It will finally be decreed that those who obey God shall be put to death. See for yourself in Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 and 17. But you don't have to worry, because the obedient have been given the promise, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. It is by this promise the children of God will live. When the earth shall be wasted with famine, they shall be fed. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. Worst case scenario, if you obey God, is you'll die. But if you die in obedience to God, you're dead in Christ. And what happens to the dead in Christ? They rise first. And you know it's a sweet deal for those who rise first. Really, technically, the worst case scenario is not to obey God, because those who don't will drink from the cup of the wrath of God, which is far worse. So if you think about it this way, I don't know if you've ever thought about it like this, but it's like this. Either way, at some point, people are going to suffer one way or the other. So you might as well suffer with Jesus and be glorified together with him. Amen? In times of turmoil, you can have peace and rest assured that God will supply all your needs according to his riches. He's not limited to what you can see. Always remember that. If need be, God will meet your needs supernaturally. All this boils down to is willing obedience. Tithing is a requirement which you are going to want to obey all the time. I can promise you, God is faithful. He even said to test him so he can prove himself to you. God will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you won't even have the capacity to receive. And that is a promise. You stand on God's word in obedience to it, and God will come through for you. So predetermine in your heart that when God blesses you, you will be a blessing to every good work. God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now I'm going to draw to a close here. I pray you really thoroughly enjoyed this presentation. Please use what you learn. You will only ever receive the benefits of God's principles by applying them. So I'm pleading with you, take some time out to pray and ask God to show you what you can begin doing so that you are a doer of the word. Stay consistent with it and trust God will honor every one of his promises. Every one. When you start doing your part, God promised us in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 to 2, "It shall come to pass, it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Amen. Now, once you have Faith Boosters, you will be able to download the audio of this presentation along with the transcripts which contain all the scriptures I used. And it saves you from having to keep coming back to this page to hear this message. You can just have it on your iPod or listen to it in your car, whatever. All right, we're at the end here. Now, I want you to speak to your Father in heaven and ask him to show you how to apply what you've learned. Okay? Promise me you'll do that. I'm Elliot Odell. Until next time, au revoir. Thank you.